joined by Norfolk County Register of Probates, Pat McDermott of Quincy, to chat a little bit about how this coronavirus pandemic is affecting the family court and affecting him personally as well. Pat, no stranger to folks here in Quincy, of course, former city councilor, longtime active in many social service organizations. Pat, great to talk to you, unfortunately this way, but better than not at all.
Absolutely. No, Joe, it's always a pleasure to connect with you and the folks throughout our city of Quincy, and tough under these circumstances, but I think everybody has been rallying to the cause and making things happen. So pleasure to catch up with everybody under these circumstances.
Yeah. Let me ask you, first of all, just personally, how are you doing?
You know, we're doing well. You know, it's interesting. Luckily, you know, for myself, I mean, I'm living a day-to-day life that I always live. I still come to the courthouse every day and go home at night. Luckily, my wife is a solo practitioner attorney. So she's been able to hold down the fort for her business. Unfortunately, she had to lay off her associate because of the issue, because the courts are closed. So her ability to make an income with a firm is a little bit difficult, so that's made it tough. But both my kids are in high school. My son's a sophomore at BC High. My daughter's at Archbishop Williams, and they're both in school every day, online. So their life hasn't been all that interrupted either, other than their extracurricular activities. So we're holding our own, like every other family in the city and throughout the Commonwealth and throughout the world, really.
Sure. Let me ask you first, I guess, just as a, you know, Quincy resident, how do you think the city is handling the crisis right now?
I got to give Mayor Koch, the city council, school committee, school superintendent, A-plus grades. I've been following Mayor Koch's almost daily updates by email and the podcasts and QATV, you know, different ways that the communication gets out. And I think so far, so good. I think the response by the community has been great in terms of rallying behind local businesses. You know, we're all on social media now. I had my son's 16th birthday last night, and we had a Montilio's bakery party. So we went down and grabbed some pizza and some cake and some calzones from Montilio's. So, you know, I've been to Alba's, I've been takeout at the Fours, and I think the community has done an unbelievable job rallying under these circumstances. And a lot of people are hurting out there. There's no question that people are losing their jobs. And I think that our municipal leaders have done a great job, at least calming the fears, I guess, in the community. And I think it's to our benefit. I think as a city, we've always rallied through difficult times, and this will be no different.
So let me ask you, professionally then, how has this affected the probate and family court? What are you doing? What are you not doing right now?
Yeah, the courts have been devastated by this, because we, you know, as I always use this phrase, I'm not sure how many people get it, but from the movie Predator, Jesse Ventura was in the woods, and Carl Weathers looked over and said to Jesse Ventura, "Hey man, you're bleeding." And Jesse Ventura says, "I ain't got time to bleed." And that's how we feel in the court system. The volume of work that comes in on a day-to-day basis, especially in the probate and family court. I think the probate and family court and the district courts are two courts that are just actively bursting at the seams on a day-to-day basis. And here we're dealing with people's, you know, real sensitive parts of their lives. I mean, people are going through child custody issues, divorce, paternity. We've got, you know, guardianship issues, we've got, you know, domestic violence cases. So these are day-to-day horrors that people are going through. So when there's an interruption like this, it puts that anxiety level at like DEFCON 4 with people. So we've tried to, and we unfortunately we've had to close our doors to the public in general. We are open for emergency purposes only, and we have a list of emergency things, and these are some of the things that obviously people, you know, would be ultimately concerned about. You know, domestic violence restraining orders, sadly do not resuscitate cases that come in. And we've had a lot of them over the last couple of weeks.
Really?
In terms of do not resuscitate, you know, hospitals that have to deal with that unfortunate issue. A lot of elderly issues, protective service cases where there's elderly exploitation going on. And there's also transfers to nursing homes that have to occur. Elderly people that have been in the hospital that don't have anybody, loved one, or anybody to care for them, need court order to transfer them into a nursing facility. So we're still staying active, doing all those day-to-day emergency things that need to be done. We have a skeleton crew here every day. We actually had an emergency response plan. I wish it was finer tuned for the circumstances we're under, but luckily we had one. So, you know, and it basically we augmented what our emergency response plan is for a typical disaster like a snowstorm. You know, mm-hmm. That's what if the court was to be closed for any extended period of time, we never expected it to be 2 months.
Right.
But for a day or two, but we have an emergency response plan, which we're now implemented. We have a hotline for the courthouse. If anybody has a problem, they can call 781-830-1278. And that hotline is manned Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. It has a voicemail, so it's a 24/7 operation. We do check. I actually, because I'm the way I am, I do check the voicemail on the weekends. I'm usually here on the weekends anyways. But we also have an email system, which email is so much better for us to deal with. And it's a Gmail third-party software system that I set up. And it's NorfolkRegistry@gmail.com. So NorfolkRegistry@gmail.com. And that's another thing that's managed 24/7. And I get that fairly frequently myself. I check that. I have my first assistant checking that. And we're able to give a rapid response to any inquiries that's coming. And certainly if people have to file matters, the emergency ones we will take by email, but we don't want to encourage people filing by email generally. We're still open for business every day. People can mail things to the court at 35 Shawmut Road in Canton, 02021. So we're accepting mail every day, and we're accepting FedEx and UPS. So we're generally open for business, and we're trying to conduct it virtually as best as we can. The judges have been very cooperative in terms of putting together telephonic and video conferencing. Unfortunately, we don't have the high technology that we should have in order to conduct these things more professionally than we are now. But they're doing their best under the circumstances and under the technology challenges that we have. So that's the basic thing. That life in the courthouse is going on, at least for the probate and family court. I know there's challenges throughout the court system, but for right now, we look at the silver lining as well. Over the course of years, I started out here 18 years ago with 46 employees. Right now, the staffing has it at 24. So an unbelievable decrease in the amount of staff that I've had to manage over the course of the time. But the files are still there. The paperwork still comes in. And, we've consistently felt behind the eight ball for a long time in terms of backlog and having to triage cases. This crisis has created an opportunity for us to really focus on some of that backlog. And I just walked through the courthouse this afternoon with my supervisor, and he was just showing me, areas of the court that we haven't even been able to look at because of the backlog of things are all cleaned out now. We've been able to get all of our backlog done, get everything into our system. So once we come out of this crisis on the other side, I'm looking forward to having a fresh start with a lot of this stuff, and we're going to have better processes in place because of it. So I try to look on the positive outlook of things, and we're going to get through this. And like I said, anybody that has an emergency situation, barring a real unforeseen thing, we did put together an emergency closure plan, because there are courts in the Commonwealth that have actually had to shut their doors because an employee or somebody who has COVID-19 was in the facility. So they've had to shut down courthouses for 10, 14 days in a quarantine fashion. So luckily that hasn't come to us. I think mostly that's happened in some of the multi-court facilities in Brockton, maybe, and I think in Suffolk and in Boston and in Worcester. We're a standalone facility here in Canton. So we're just the probate and family court here in our building. So the fact that we're just here with employees and no members of the public, and so far none of our employees have come down with any symptoms. So we're able to stay open for now. And as of right now, the court's edict is that we will not be open absent for emergencies until May 4th. So we're in a pretty solid shutdown for the next month. But like I said, to the members of the public that have family issues, we are responsive on that email and on the hotline. I would mention that the biggest issue that we're dealing with right now is parenting issues. When parents are living apart, and there is, you know, in the past we called it visitation. We don't use that term anymore. We call it parenting, and that's what it really is. So we put together parenting plans. You know, dad has the children, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday. Mom has the other days. Whatever the case may be within a within that type of family unit, and it's all different. It's all based on, it's case by case. Back in the days when it was like, you know, dad gets them on the weekends, mom Monday through Friday, and every other week or so. That doesn't exist anymore. It's really, we get creative on these parenting plans. Unfortunately, under these circumstances, custodial parents, meaning the parents that are the primary caretakers of the children, a lot of times they're self quarantining. They're putting themselves under home confinement, which the other side is the non-custodial parent. Obviously is concerned because now how do I get access to my children? We're really emphasizing parents to really work harder, to be reasonable and accommodating with each other. It's very difficult because some of these relationships are really tough and they don't end well a lot of times. And so sometimes, and sadly, the kids are in the middle. But kids are entitled to have access to both of their parents, even under these circumstances. So we're encouraging families to get creative. I mean, certainly use technology as we're using today. You know, use Skype, use FaceTime.
The kids can help you with that.
anything that we can to try to facilitate and continue that relationship between parents, because judges are going to be looking at these things as who acted reasonably and rationally under the circumstances. And I think it's pretty easy to believe that a person would act reasonable and rational, saying, you know what, I want to keep a shelter in place with my child here. So dad or mom, why don't we organize a Thursday night Skype session however it might be. And that's what I think the judges are going to look at, because what ends up happening is we do have a volume of people wanting to file contempt actions against the custodial parent. And that's dangerous. But we're encouraging people to work together. We've put some websites together, and I wish I had them in front of me now, but I've been emailing people out some websites that are very helpful about how to manage parenting under these circumstances. So that's important. And the other thing on that is lots of people losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. We recognize under these, I mean, this is an unprecedented amount of unemployment going on in a very short period of time.
Right.
And there are a lot of parents, payees, or payors, I should say, of child support that now cannot pay child support. And this is a real bad domino effect that happens. Yes. You know, you can't pay child support. All of a sudden, the recipient, who might be, that might be their principal way to take care of the children and pay the rent. Now, food isn't on the table. Rent isn't getting paid. Mortgage isn't getting paid. So there's a big crisis there. The unfortunate thing is the court really is in no position to real modify anything or do anything. So once again, we encourage the person that's going unemployed to file a modification with us. We won't be able to really take any action on it, but file the modification saying the circumstances have changed. You've lost your job. You don't have the ability to pay. Okay. And as long as we can get the other side served on that, there's a stay on that, or at least there's a retroactive opportunity to make that person whole. And at the same time, people, once again, have to be responsible. There's lots of services out there for people, whether it's accessing food pantries for emergency food. Unemployment is obviously backed up. So a lot of the people that are losing their jobs, it's only a temporary problem that they can't pay.
Right.
So that's the issues we're facing now. But the overall theme is, I think everybody just does have to calm down a little bit. We do have to all get through this together. Take the advice of what the governor and his staff and the president and his staff are saying about, you know, don't go out if you don't have to. Don't make waves if you don't have to. You know, use this opportunity to connect with your children, with your family and your loved ones, and use technology to the best of your ability.
Yeah. How about folks who are trying to settle estates, Pat, right now? Is that something that's happening, or is that kind of on hold?
You know, that's something which is great. It's a good point, because that's something we can do administratively for the most part. So okay. I, There's a group of, we're all, myself, my first assistant, and some of the judicial case managers, we're all probate magistrates, for lack of a better word. So as the paperwork comes in, people can settle estates administratively. So we're fully accepting probate paperwork as it comes in the door, and we have the staff to process the paperwork. It's a little bit slower than I would like, only because we're reduced in terms of our staff. But we are processing all that work. So anybody that does have an estate file that needs to be filed, definitely mail it in to us. And technically, if somebody is out and about for whatever reason, don't be out and about if you don't have to be.
Right.
But if you want to drop it off at the court, we do have a drop box out front.
Okay.
So you can drop their own. If they don't trust the U.S. Postal Service, you can get a drop off outside of the courthouse. At your convenience.
Okay. Anything that actually cannot be done right now through the courts that's going to have to wait?
There's nothing that can't be done, but there's things that, like I said, we're triaging things for emergency purposes.
Okay.
I mean, like, yep. Things that have to be done are going to get done.
Okay.
I mean, things that aren't being done. I mean, we're not doing adoptions right now.
Which
is the one thing that I enjoy doing every day.
Yeah.
Is watching an adoption come together. But obviously we put those on hold. So it's really just a holding pattern right now. But anything that we need to get done, we will. And I want to emphasize the domestic violence. For folks that are listening, you know, there is a spike. And I've had the chance to talk to some folks in the domestic violence world. And I'm actually looking to reach out to Sue Chandler at Dove.
Sure. Yeah.
Who does an amazing thing. They put out some nice emails about this crisis anyways, about what their needs are and how we can facilitate. We have a great partnership with Dove here at the courthouse. Anybody that is having domestic violence, please reach out to your local police department, reach out to Dove, certainly reach out to us. We have a partnership with the district attorney's office. We have, unfortunately, I think some of the studies are showing that there may be a spike in domestic violence because people are at home. And if there is domestic violence already in the house, it could get, unfortunately, worse.
Yes.
So we don't want any victims of domestic violence to hesitate to reach out to any of those, either the nonprofit agency, reach out to Dove, reach out to our office here at the probate court, the district attorney, the local police department.
Yep.
We don't want you or your family in that situation. So we take that. I think that's our number one issue that we're dealing with. And certainly anything having to do with the elderly in terms of those transfers to nursing homes. And sadly, the do not resuscitate cases.
Yeah. So. Okay. Also, I should ask you how this is affecting your campaign for sheriff.
Well, everything's on hold, and I do hesitate. Everybody's campaigns are on hold, and I can't necessarily elaborate any further because I am in a public building right now, so I don't want to talk politics while I'm in a public facility. But suffice it to say, all campaigns that I know of are on full hold and are kind of transferring into digital world.
Sure. I know you're very active in Quincy and a lot of the fraternal organizations too. I'm assuming that they're going to be gearing up soon to do any kind of help that they can during and after this pandemic.
Yeah, I've been actively involved. I was a three-time past Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus. I know the Knights of Columbus have, you know, sadly with them, we've hosted up Alcoholics Anonymous meetings a week, and sadly those are all gone now. And so there's a lot of folks who have had to go online for their meetings. The Knights are very active in terms of raising money, helping with food baskets for people. I think they're ramping up that initiative right now.
Yep.
I'm right now the president of the Rotary Club of Quincy. Right. And we have also had some meetings about ramping up our efforts. I mean, our fundraising now, we usually are right now in the middle of planning our big scholarship gala, and obviously that's over, and all of our efforts now are focused on what we can do to do some local relief. And we passed the other night, we had our first Zoom meeting the other night, and we did pass $3,000 worth of donations each to Interfaith Social Services, the Quincy Food Pantry down in Germantown with Kathy Quigley, and then also $1,000 to the Salvation Army.
Okay.
And so we've deployed those $1,000 each to those agencies. We think cash contributions right now are probably the most important. And as this thing, I said to my Rotarians, I said, you know, in a crisis, there's always that immediate need and that immediate rush to help. And I said, unfortunately, in this kind of a crisis, as in some of these natural disasters that have happened throughout the world, sometimes people forget a week out, 2 weeks out, a month out. This crisis is going to go on a lot further than just the immediate. So we've, at least in the Rotary Club, we provided that immediate cash injection to those three agencies, but we're also planning some initiatives going forward, volunteer opportunities for those agencies and others in Quincy, as well as food drives, clothing drives, whatever is needed. We got Easter coming up. You talk about the Knights of Columbus. Easter's coming up, and I saw on Facebook there's a family, I think a family out in Squanum that is trying to organize an Easter basket donation campaign for families that might be in a pinch this year. So Look out onto social media and find ways that you can give back. If you have the means to give back, especially under these circumstances, Do so. I mean, Easter's coming up a week from Sunday, and I'm sure that there's a lot of families that are going to be struggling out there, and there's nothing that would be more precious for a family than to have a couple of Easter baskets to give their kids.
Sure, and you mentioned Interfaith. I know that they do that every year as well, and a lot of the social service organizations all over the South Shore, certainly.
Now, we have a great community. I tell you, Quincy has always stepped up. You know, you talk about another agency that I'm probably as inundated right now is Quincy Community Action Program.
Oh, yeah.
They're always inundated under good times. And
right.
So QCAP, God bless them down there. And that's another agency that's always in need of donations and assistance. So
yes.
We're not lacking opportunities to give. And I think that, like I said before, the city of Quincy has consistently rallied during crises, and it's always amazing to see what people do. And I was just down at, I just took takeout down at Alba's with Leo Kika the other night.
Yeah.
Talk about one of the most generous souls in the city of Quincy, who has always rallied behind every cause. And now he's hurting a little bit. You know, his business is off. He was getting ready to launch a new restaurant, I think, down in Hanover.
A new
Alba's down in Hanover. So, if you have the opportunity to grab some takeout, go to those local establishments, hang out. Leo's got the best steak in town. So if you're craving for a steak, and for my Catholic friends out there, they have lifted the meat restriction during Lent.
That's right.
So grab a steak down at Alba's tonight. this is pre-recorded, so it might not be Friday, but grab a steak anyways.
That's right. Anything else, Pat, you think we should let folks know about, either personally or professionally, that's important right now?
Well, I think we've covered most of the thing. And at the end of the day, I want to thank you, and I want to thank all of your efforts to get the word out. I think it's been tough. I was saddened when I saw Bob Bosworth had to shut the doors of the Quincy Sun, hopefully only temporarily. That's a gem of a newspaper. It's a gem of communications for the city. So I hope that'll be back in business soon. But thank you and all that you do at QATV to get the word out for all of us. And hang in. And hopefully if I have more news, I'll share it with you. I'll send you an email. And if I have to come back online, I'd love to come back on and share it with your audience.
Open computer. Absolutely. Get in touch and we'll get it out there for you.
Okay, Joe. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Be well to you and your family. Take care.
Thanks.